So scripture this morning is from James 5, 7 through 10. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And from Matthew 11, 2 through 11. When John heard in prison that the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out and see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written. See, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he."
Morning again. One of the critiques that early Quakers back in the 1600s had of the established church at that time was that the church at large had adopted a meantime theology. And the reasoning of a meantime theology sounds sort of like this. A meantime as in, well, in the meantime, let's, right? And this was the reasoning. Jesus and the apostles have gone away to heaven. And all prophecy and miracles and revelation have ceased. We've just got the Bible. That's what they left us with. And our best chance for salvation is not for now, it's for later. The best we can hope for now is a church that acts to serve a street medic for sin. You know, street medic doesn't have a lot of medical training, but they're able to patch you up and bandage you and give you some painkillers and get you in a state where you'll be ready and you won't die before you see the doctor. So for real healing, we need the great physician. And to meet the great physician, we need to wait till kingdom come. Because obviously Jesus isn't here right now, but he's coming back. And to this kind of reasoning, Quakers said, "No, that's wrong. Jesus has come to teach his people himself. He's here now. The great physician is present, and we can be healed and transformed. We don't have to limp along in sin any longer." For the early Quakers, the message of the gospel is that Jesus did not die just to save us in our sin, pardoning us despite our continued evil and brokenness and woundedness, but rather that Jesus is actively saving us from our sin, healing us and transforming us into people who act and have the character of God's children. Yeah. So it's interesting, because in a way, John the Baptist was the ultimate meantime preacher. Well, in the meantime, he told people not to cheat, not to steal, not to hurt one another. He gave people basic ground rules for repenting of sin so that they would be ready when the Messiah showed up. But real salvation was in the future, not right now. It was not now, but then, on that day, when the Messiah would come and bring a whole new order with him. John knew the Messiah was coming soon, but for most of John's ministry, he had apparently not shown up yet. John was preparing the way for the Messiah, but he lived his whole life in anticipation of a person that he didn't know and couldn't fully understand. Jesus said of John that John was the greatest man ever born. Jesus said, "Among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." I just gotta let that sink in, because the greatest of all born of women, that's greater than Elijah, greater than Moses, greater than Abraham. That's a really intense statement for Jesus, an observant Jew, to say, right? Greater than all born of women are John the Baptist. And yet, in the kingdom of heaven, even the least is greater than him. John had an anointing from God. He had received the plan. He knew the Messiah was coming. Yet he couldn't predict when or where or in exactly what form. And when the Messiah showed up, now, according to the Gospel of John, John the Baptist immediately knew who Jesus was when he showed up. But according to Matthew, he wasn't sure. And so when Jesus shows up, John, who's in prison, you know, he's about to be executed by Herod. John in prison sends some of his disciples to Jesus and says, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we be waiting for someone else?" And Jesus tells John, essentially, "Judge for yourself. Take a look at what I'm doing. Does it match the prophetic writings about the Messiah or not? Am I doing the things that Isaiah predicted the Messiah would do? Look, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is brought to the poor. Tell me, John, what do you see?" Now, we know that John died soon after this. He was executed by Herod. We know that story. We know that John never got to see how Jesus' ministry would fully play out. I don't know how many of you remember the story of Simeon, this old man in the temple when Jesus was born. Jesus is brought for his dedication. But in a lot of ways, John is like Simeon, who said, "These eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you prepared in the world, for whom you prepared for all the world to see, whom you being God." My eyes have seen the Savior. But then Simeon died, and John saw the Savior, or at least had confirmed that Jesus was him. John saw Jesus' advent, but he didn't live to see his ministry come to fruition. John was the greatest prophet, the greatest human being of the old era. But like Moses, his role was not to enter the promised land. God used him to pass the torch to a new Joshua. You know, Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, it's the same name. So Elijah as Moses, passing the mantle to Joshua. This was John's meantime experience, seeing God's salvation, but not being able to rest in it during his lifetime. So I'm holding these two meantime theologies in tension. The meantime theology that early Quakers railed against, the kind that says, there's nothing we can do about sin. There's no way we can do better. But thank goodness Jesus is coming back someday. And in the meantime, we can die and go to heaven if we say the right words and receive the right sacraments from the right priests. That's the meantime theology that excuses sin and mocks Jesus' work on the cross. On the other hand, there's the meantime ministry of John the Baptist that might seem superficially similar, in that it definitely is a well in the meantime, but it's vastly different in character. It's the meantime theology that Moses had. It's the meantime theology that Martin Luther King Jr. had. It's the meantime theology that says, I see the dawn that's rising. I see the promised land stretched out before me from atop the mountain. I can see where God is leading us. I know that we're going to make it there by God's powerful leading and hand. But I don't know if I'll make it there with you. James writes to us this morning, encouraging us to be patient, to wait for the coming of the Lord like a farmer waits for the crop to grow and be ready for the harvest. He says, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Strengthen your hearts. We have to strengthen our hearts because we may not get to walk into that promised land, but we can see it. We can see the deeds of power that Jesus is doing in the world today, if we're looking for it. We can know that he's among us. We know that he's here. We know that he's bringing the kingdom. And maybe we won't get to enter the promised land on the schedule that we'd like. Maybe the transformation we want to see isn't for us quite yet. But like John the Baptist, we can be obedient. We can make straight the way of the Lord in a crooked wilderness. We can be like Moses, serving the Lord with all our hearts and minds and strength. Even if we don't get to see the promised land, or even if we don't get to enter it, we can open the way for others. We can be like Jesus, laying down our life for our friends, trusting that our God and Father will lift us up.